God, we thank you so much for your word. Even after a busy day or whatever kind of day we've had in the morning and the evening, we can come to you and turn to you and talk to you, and you hear us and listen. So, God, we want to listen to you. So speak to us, we pray. Bless all those who hear. Let your word go forth. And we love you, God. Forgive our sin. Wash us clean that we might receive your word in a healthy and right way. In Jesus' name, amen. It's good to be back in Proverbs. There's some wisdom to be said to just be disciplined and to do it. And the simplicity of just coming to the Bible and reading it and seeing what it has to say to each of us. I just finished up Proverbs this morning in my own devotional time, and I'm excited for Ecclesiastes. Some people don't like Ecclesiastes. Slow down for them. I enjoy it. I enjoy that there's someone else to commiserate over the fact that the world is the way it is. And Proverbs, wisdom, helps us see the world the way it is. Helps us see God the way he is. Helps us see heaven the way it is. Helps it give us the right perspective on things. I saw a clip today of a girl at a protest. I didn't listen to it, I just saw the blurb from it. And she was asked why she was protesting, and she had this look, and I don't know. That people just go about their lives, they go along with the crowd, they do what they think they're supposed to do, and they have no idea about anything. That's foolishness. But thankfully with the Bible, we can have an idea, we can have an answer, literally, for everything. Not that we're know-it-alls, but the Bible talks about everything that's important. We can figure out the reasoning behind things. But enough of my words. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 16. It says, "The preparations of the heart belong to man, but the answer of the tongue is from the Lord." That, you know, it belongs to us to prepare our hearts. It's up to us to pray. It's up to us to ask God to reveal things to us. It's up to us to consider things, you know, before you go into a meeting. Consider what you're going to say. Consider what you're going to do. And when it comes to things of God, it's up to us to prepare our hearts to receive what he has to say. Because we can read the Bible and we can just burn right through it. Well, the preparations of the heart belong to man, the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. All the ways of the man are clean. And we can read it, but not get anything from it. And more than that, not hear from the Lord on it. And so let's prepare our hearts. That's why we pray before we read. That's why we slow down and take a minute to consider, God, is there a wicked way in me that needs to be dealt with? Do I have an answer? Am I praying about something? Well, the preparation of your heart for the Lord for those things, that way when you come to the Bible, when you're in your devotionals, that's when God will answer. When you're already prepared. Not when you're begging and screaming and looking for it, panicked. But when you've got that discipline, that preparation, it comes easier. But the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. We've said it before when the disciples, when Jesus said they're going to take you into court for your faith, he said, don't prepare what you're going to say beforehand, that the Holy Spirit's going to give you the words in the right time. That's the same way that if we slow down and prepare, God will give us a good answer for things. God will not only answer us, but put a word in our tongue that we might answer correctly in a situation. All the ways of man are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the spirit. That apart from God, even with God, if we're not preparing our heart, if we're not slowing down, we can begin to think that we do everything right. We can begin to think that the way we do things is right. We can even begin to think that our understanding of God and Scripture is right. We've been watching those videos as a family about these different false teachers of our day and age and how they teach these things. Some of them, I'm sure, from ill will. Others think they're doing the right thing. But it's clear they're not. It's clear they're against Scripture. And I think part of it is they haven't sat down and prepared their heart before the Lord. And that's a tough place to be, because if we look at ourselves, especially when sometimes you get in a fight with someone, you go, I did nothing wrong. They're the ones who are messed up. There's that two-edged sword of having a dash cam. You get in an accident, well, the footage on the dash cam might just show that maybe you weren't driving right. Maybe you were the cause of the accident. And Proverbs can be that dash cam in our lives to show us where we're going off. And the Lord weighs the spirit, that the Lord is the one who weighs it out, that determines what our motives are, what's right, what's wrong. Like Hebrews says, the word of God is sharper than a two-edged sword, able to pierce between soul and spirit, bone and marrow. It's that sharp sword, whew, can cut right into us and say, you really did that for the wrong reason. Or you can do that for the right reason. It's okay to do that. But again, we tend to justify ourselves. We tend to blame others first instead of ourselves. Someone lost a remote, but you're the one sitting on it, right? Who took my glasses? Oh, they're on top of your head. You know, it's quicker to blame someone else. But we need to come to the Lord, let him weigh our spirits, let him weigh our motives, let him weigh our lives. Because you know what? When he weighs our lives and we look honestly, we find, like the scripture says, we've been found wanting and we need Jesus. We need his spirit and we need his word. Amen? Verse 3 says, commit your works to the Lord and your thoughts will be established. You know, like James talks about, a double-minded man can't expect to receive anything from the Lord because he's like a wave tossed back and forth. That if our minds are going crazy, if we're not settled, if we don't have peace, we can't just go om and meditate and try and calm our minds. It won't fix it. We need to say, all right, Lord, I'm in a panic. I don't know what to do, but your word says this, so I'm going to trust you. And like Proverbs says, lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him and he will direct your paths. That you walk with him and you step out with him, your thoughts will begin to be established. Your thoughts will toe and come into line with what you're doing as you do it in obedience to God. I find the times when I haven't had that word from God or I'm not sure what to do and I step out to do things, there's two things that can happen. One, I find that, oh, I'm doing the right thing and this is great and my worry goes away because I have the word of the Lord, I find the word of the Lord. Or at the very least, at the very worst, I step out and realize, oh, this wasn't the right way to go, and God begins to make it clear to me. But the problem is when we sit still all the time. We play Monday morning quarterback in our lives and we try and figure out what to do and we pontificate all day. We just need to step out and do it sometimes. And whether right or wrong, God will sort it out. Now, there's things we should blatantly not do, and there's things we should do, but I think what I'm saying is what Scripture's saying is, just trust God, step out, follow him, let your thoughts become his worry, and you just worry about being obedient. Verse 4, the Lord has made all things for himself, yes, even the wicked for the day of evil. That God made everything. At the end of the day, God made everything. Everything. And he said it was good. And then man sinned and evil into the world and wickedness abounds. But you know, I'm not going to get into Calvinism or Arminianism, but it's been said that on this side of heaven, we have the choice to enter in. We look at the door, it says, choose, open the door, and I will come into you. But when we get into heaven, we turn around and we look at that same door, and it says, God says, I chose you. The Bible says that God made vessels of honor and vessels of dishonor. And part of that is God knows the end from the beginning and the beginning from the end. So he knows the choices you're going to make. He doesn't, like fate, make you choose those things, but he knows you. He made you. He knows what you're going to choose. He gives you every opportunity to choose other things. But sometimes we're just bent on being wicked like Pharaoh. And other times we're maybe more like Joseph. But God has made the wicked for the day of evil, and people struggle with that. That's the way God made it. God knew what was going to happen. Does that make him unjust, unloving? No. It makes him God. It makes him all-powerful and all-knowing. And it's up to us. If that bothers you, if that verse bothers you, well, choose this day who will you serve. Will you serve God or will you serve yourself? Because it's up to you. You have free will. You have a choice to make. And if these things bother you, well, become a vessel of honor. Let God dwell in you instead of the things of wickedness. Verse 5, everyone who is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Be assured he will not be unpunished. Right? There's seven things the Lord hates, and one of them is pride. One of them is a proud look. Because pride is arrogance. It's putting ourselves in the place of God, which is what Satan did. And it's an interesting study. I encourage you at some point in life to go through and look at the things that God calls an abomination. It's a very strong word. And a proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord, that we think we know it all. You know, I was thinking yesterday, or the other day, with my little pea brain, about the things I know and how much I've learned, and yet how much I don't know. And I was thinking about the lyrics of that song that says, "You've been God, God bless you, for a long time." And forever, He's been God. But think about all the things that God knows. Think about how much time God has been around. Think about how much God sees every day. Think about the complexity of the universe, atoms and protons and neutrons and men and women and hair and organs and cows and x-rays. God thought of all that stuff. He came up with all that. He invented it all. And so when we go, "I know better than you," shall the pottery say to the potter, "How dare you make me like this?" That is an abomination to Him. Why? Because ultimately, it prevents them from knowing God. It keeps them from Him. And God wants us to know Him. God wants us to follow Him. And I think the second part is an encouragement, a comfort to us. It says, "Be assured, He will not be unpunished. That when the proud come against us, when someone's prideful and arrogant against you, know that God's the one to deal with it. Know that the Bible says that pride comes before a fall, that even their own pride will get themselves in trouble. And you don't have to try and show them up. You don't have to prove them wrong. They'll stumble themselves over their fall. In fact, you should pray for them that they would humble themselves, right? That they would turn. That there's justice in the world. That no matter how much pride there is, at the end of the day, the buck stops with God. And there will be judgment. Verse 6, "By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. And by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil." That man, our iniquity, it's our lack, our sinful, empty hole in ourselves that we try and fill with sin and sinful living to try and make it better. But God wants to fill it. God says mercy and truth get rid of that. That God's kindness leads us to repentance. That His mercy allows us to find forgiveness. That His truth washes that stuff away. That if you've been sinning, you've been filling up that iniquitous hole in your life, read the Bible. If you're struggling with sin and can't stop, read the Bible. Wash your mind. Wash your spirit with the water of the living Word. "In the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil." That guy, family and I, we've watched on YouTube, who goes around and asks people, "I'll give you $20 if you can tell me a Bible verse." And he also has other videos where he says, "Do you fear God?" I say, "No, I don't fear Him." And then all these different answers. We've lost the idea of what it means to fear Him. They say, "No, you don't need to fear God. You can be His friend." Well, we don't need to be afraid. If we don't know Him, we should be very afraid of Him. Because our judgment is coming. But if we do know Him and come to know Him, we realize we have nothing to fear from Him. That's how you can tell if you really know God or not. If someone who doesn't know God, they don't, like the word fear means respect and honor. They disrespect Him, they dishonor Him, they blaspheme Him, and they're not afraid of Him at all, or they really are afraid of Him. Or they think God is going to beat them over the head, and that's why they don't come to Him. They think He's an unjust God, and they're afraid of Him. But someone who knows Him respects God, takes His word seriously. "God, when I sinned, I'm really broken over it. I can't stand it, God, because it's a dishonor to You and to what You did at the cross for me." And we love Him. There's a difference there. So we should fear Him. And that's how we depart from evil. Just like you want to get out of it, you want to get out of a situation, honor God. Like Joseph, put God before you. Don't want to go against Him. Run away from sin. Verse 7, "When a man's ways please the Lord, He makes even his enemies be at peace with him." That when we're following God, it doesn't mean that everyone's always going to like us. It doesn't mean we're not going to have enemies. But know that God is your defense. Know that God is the one who's going to turn their hearts, change their minds, and cause them to not hate you anymore. But they might hate you. They might even kill you. They killed Jesus. But remember the soldier at the foot of the cross? He said, "Truly, He is the Son of God." So know that God handles those things. Vengeance is His. We don't need to seek vengeance on other people. We need to stand up for what's right. We need to do what's right. We need to defend others. But we don't need to defend our own honor before the wicked. here we go. Better is a little righteousness than great revenues with justice. Proverbs says this thing's very similar. Again, it's better to have a little and to be right with God and to do the right thing in life than to have a lot and be filthy and be sinful. Verse 9, a man's heart devises his way, but the Lord directs his steps. Again, this idea that we need to prepare our hearts, we need to ponder things. We need to be prepared for his word to enter us. If we don't prepare, we don't listen, his word can't get into us. It'll just pass by us, like by the wayside. But it's God who directs our steps, so that we can have the comfort. If we're seeking God and we daily seek him and we try and take steps to follow him every day, we can set off and maybe not know where we're going, but we know that this step is going to go and the next step is going to go. Like you and I, Ash, were taking the door off the truck and it was big and heavy and on a pallet, and we didn't know what the next step was. We knew the first step was to get it off the truck. So we figured out how to slide it over, how to slide it down. And then once we got there, we figured the next step, and then the next step. And now all the doors are upstairs. And then tomorrow I had to figure out how to mount it, or whenever I do it, this weekend. But the point being is that we don't have to know what tomorrow brings. God's got that covered. Today is enough worries of itself, that if we think about things, plan things, guess what? Our plans can change, right? But it's we can prepare and we can plan and we can purpose, but we need to be flexible enough for God to direct our steps. And if we go out and do that, God does. We might step in one direction and God will go, okay, no, it's okay. Just step a little to the left. Step a little more to the left. Step a little more to the left. You know, Timmy learned to ride his bike yesterday. And at first he needed a little help and a little bit of direction. And he was looking down at his feet and worried about his feet pedaling. And I told him, Timmy, your feet and the pedals will take care of themselves. You got to watch where you're going. And he began to do that, and he began to keep pedaling, and now he was going around and turning. That's the same thing with our walk with the Lord. We just need to walk. We can't be stagnant. If you're sitting still, you're not going to get anywhere. You're falling back. The tide is coming in. You need to push against it. But be confident that God will direct your steps as you put him first and seek him first. A divine sentence is on the lips of the king. His mouth does not transgress in judgment. Just again, this idea of authority. That a king who's godly, at least, does not transgress in judgment, that his judgment is correct and true. But even if the king's ungodly, from his own perspective, he's doing the thing that best doesn't transgress against himself, against his own divine sentence. He says things and it's done. But we need to respect the position of authority, but we don't necessarily need to like the person in authority, right? I respect the office of the president, but that guy, he ain't my president, but he's supposedly the one in charge. And I think we've forgotten that in this world. That doesn't mean that we don't try and elect somebody else or get the rule of law working or any of those things. But remember, it's easy for someone in power to put you in jail. A just weight and balance belong to the Lord. All of the weights of the bag are his work. Again, that God doesn't like when people cheat. God doesn't cheat. A just weight and balance. That's what they would weigh out things, how much things would cost and what the value was. And God determines what's right and wrong. All the weights of the bag are his work. That God does things and measures them against Jesus. We think our works will outweigh Jesus. My good works will get me somewhere. Did you never sin and die for the whole world? Nope. God determines what's right and wrong. We need to remember that he's the one who not only set the universal constants, the law of strong and weak nuclear force, of gravity, of electrons in their orbits, he also determined what's right and wrong morally. And we can't change those things. The world right now is about changing what's right and wrong, changing what's in the balance, that it's unfair for this or that, and putting others down in an attempt to lift themselves up. But they have no authority to do such things. Verse 12, is an abomination to kings to commit wickedness, for the throne is established by righteousness. No, again, this is an abomination to the Lord. It's an abomination for kings. A king is supposed to be right. A king is supposed to do the right thing, the good thing, to care for the people, not himself. And yet, time and time again throughout history, it's obvious Men are not meant to be kings without God. God is meant to be the one in charge because we get so corrupted by it. There was a guy, I saw the memes, I didn't know what it was from, and then Pastor Vinny sent me a video of this guy in Australia. It's this nerdy guy with his hat. It just reminded me of, this kid must have been the kid who got made fun of as a kid and was real nerdy and dorky, and not that it's okay to make fun of someone like that, but he seemed like the type of person that was unlikable in those things and rude, and he chose to get into power and office, and now he's trying to put people who make fun of him in jail. He's trying to make it illegal for people to make jokes about him online. And there's some guy behind him standing by like a police car. I said, Vin, how do these people live with themselves? How can you possibly think that you should be able to make a law to prevent people from making fun of you because you're leading their country in the wrong direction? But that's how tyranny works. That's how power works. That's how wickedness works. That we gain power, we don't want anyone else to challenge it. It's so obvious that even when we're not doing it correctly. And the throne is established by righteousness. It's not going to stick around. Wicked thrones are constantly overthrown by other wickedness. A righteous throne will last forever. Righteous lips are the delight of kings, and they love him who speaks right. Everyone who's in power loves someone who's going to give them good counsel, at least if they're a good leader. Bad leaders, just like yes men, people say yes, yes, yes. Oh, that's a great idea. Good leaders will want to hear the yes and the no. And I try to tell, that's my boss. I try to say yes to him as much as possible, but there are times when I disagree with him. I'll try and disagree behind closed doors and tell him what I really think. But righteous lips are delight of kings. You know that God sets up, and you know, God is the ultimate king. And any king should seek to be right like him. And if they are, they're going to like people who speak the truth. But you can tell that, guess what? You can tell if the king is righteous or not if he likes free speech, because the kings of this day and age don't want anyone speaking against their power. They don't want the truth getting out there. They want to turn off social media and jail people who would allow people to say things. Verse 14, the wrath of a king is as messengers of death, but a wise man will pacify it. That... You know, I read about this this guy, I think he was in Arkansas, Alabama. He was an airport executive, and he bought a bunch of guns legally, and he was selling them at gun shows. And the ATF didn't like it. And instead of saying something to him at the gun show, because they have secret, blurry images of him at the gun show selling guns, instead of saying something to him there, maybe even arresting him there if they thought so, which they could have, because no one's armed inside the gun show. You know what they did? They waited and kicked down his door at 6 a.m. And when he shows up with a gun, like anybody would do, someone kicks down my door in the morning. No, it's called a no-knock raid. They don't knock. They don't announce who they are. They kick down the door to come to arrest you. They killed him. They shot him in the head. Those are the messengers of death. That if the king wants you dead, what are you going to do about it when his forces show up? And it's sad and it's tragic that that's the state of our nation right now. Where these people are so caught up in their power that they can't just do the right thing. They can't come in and say, you know what, we could arrest you. They could arrest him at work when he's at the airport. They could have gone into him and got him while he's in the break room. Nothing would have happened there. He's not going to have his gun at the airport. But no, they bust in when he's most likely to be armed and ready to fight back. For what? For selling 150 guns? Oh, because some people decide to use them in crimes? How is that his fault? Granted, there's laws and he should obey the laws, but at the same time, the people in power who enforce the laws don't enforce them correctly. So when a king is wrathful against his people, like a tyrant, you're in trouble. There's not much you can do about it. It says a wise man will pacify it. A wise man is going to do whatever it takes to try and calm down the situation. And that's tough in our day and age. Because just like that book about Noah that I used to read to you guys when you were little, people love to fight. They're like, did you spit on me? And it was supposed to be the rain, as the book says it. And every day I see things, and I wish I just never looked at the news. I'm getting really sick of it, because the amount of fighting, the amount of killing, the amount of... It's clear Jesus has got to come back, because the days are evil. And people don't pacify it. There's a girl who got... Somebody came up and began to rob her and beat her, and there's a guy sitting on the grass, no farther than you to me, just watching it. And he robs her and takes it. Well, why didn't he fight back? Why is he going to get involved over a cell phone? Why is he going to risk his life? Especially when people who do step up in the cities where it happens, they're the ones who get arrested. They're the ones who have to go to court and spend their life savings and go into debt to try and get a lawyer. And even then, who knows what happens. So don't expect... And I saw another video. A girl walking home, other people around, cars pulls up, they knock her over, they rob her. This world is messed up. And it's trickled down. The people have elected evil leaders. The people are wicked and want wicked to rule. And they make wicked laws, and wickedness abounds. And a wise man will pacify it. It's our job to be the peacemakers, the Bible says. To be the ones who reconcile others to God. That no law is going to fix this. No new law, no new leader is going to fix this until the world elects Jesus as the leader of their hearts. This will change. But I got news for you. The Bible says it's not going to change. The Bible says it's going to get worse, and they're going to want a leader who's even worse. And he's going to be the Antichrist. And then Jesus will come back and wipe the floor with his abomination. Let's read another verse and we'll close out. In the light of a king's countenance is life, and his favor is as a cloud of the latter rain. And when the king shows favor to you, there's life, right? I mean, imagine the president really liked you. You'd probably get all sorts of pardons, like the president's son now. He has a gun illegally. He doesn't get arrested. He brings drugs to the White House. They cover it up. He makes illegal deals, money laundering. He doesn't go to jail. He's the king's son. He's got this king's countenance on him. But imagine you had a good king. You know that we have a good king? And his countenance, his smile, his face is upon you. When I look at my kids, when I look at you guys, I just want to bless you. I'm the king. I'm the king of the allowance. I'm the king of the trips to the Costco. I'm the king who can take you to the gun show or Silverwood. When my countenance is on you, it's good. If I'm being a good king, a good dad, hopefully I am. Hopefully I am good once in a while. But God is good all the time. And we should want his countenance on us. And part of that is just, like in the beginning, preparing our hearts before him and saying, God, I want your favor in my life. I don't need to make my own favors. I don't need to ask other people's for favors. Although it's great to have friends who can do that. We just want God's favor in our life. And his favor is a cloud of the latter rain, that when it's dry. And later this summer, when things are drier. We didn't get a lot of winter this winter. We didn't. It was cold for a couple weeks, brutally cold. But we didn't get a lot of snow. Things are dry. This summer could be a bad fire season. We're going to pray for rain. And isn't it great when you see the rain cloud come after a dry time? Just like Elijah, right? It didn't rain. And he prayed and it didn't rain. And he prayed again and it rained, right? At that little cloud, he saw that little cloud. And he knew God was answering their prayers. And that's the favor we need. As we prepare our hearts, as we take our steps, as we walk through life, we need God's favor in it, or it won't work. Whether life is bad or good, it won't work. You can't make it. Money can buy happiness to some degree, but there's always someone out there who's going to steal it from you. You know, I worked so hard to get that van last year, and God provided. It was totally a God thing that I was able to even get it in the first place, so don't get me wrong. But we saved up money, we sold things, we borrowed a little from Mima, I flew out to Oregon, I drove all the way back. I slept at a rest stop. We get it here. We fix it up. We clean it up. We maintenance on it. It's perfect. It's good to go. Mommy did, Ash did nothing wrong. Just got rear-ended by it one day. Gone. Insurance company only pays so much. Thank you, Lord, for insurance. Inflation in the world and evil kings have made the cost of living go way up. Thankfully, Mima had some more money for us to borrow. Sorry, I'm putting you on blast on the recording, Mima. But there's only so much we can do. No matter how hard we try, it'll never be good enough. It'll never match up. We need God. And God is gracious and kind and his favor is upon us. And that's the only thing that keeps me going in this world that's dark. Raising my children in a world that I know is going to be even worse for them if the Lord doesn't return. I pray he comes back as soon as next year. I pray he comes back tonight. I don't have to hang that door. I don't have to go to work. I don't have to pay another bill. But if he doesn't, I'm going to keep stepping. I'm going to keep walking. And he wants all of us to walk with him and to trust him. That's the point of all this, again, with wisdom, that we turn to the King and know that we have a King who's over us and cares about us and is not wicked and will bring judgment on the wicked one day. And we just need to trust that he will and know that he will. Amen? Amen. So God, thank you for your word. Thank you that it's true. Thank you, God, that you are in charge. That no matter what the enemy thinks, no matter what the guy, well, I know the guy in the White House doesn't think much, but the people around him who are running the show, pulling the strings, no matter what they think, they're in charge. You're in charge. No matter what the fool says in his heart that there's no God, there is a God and he made everything. He defines right and wrong. You do, God. You are right. You are good. And we love you and trust you because of that. And so, God, we ask that you would guide us. You would guide our family, guide our friends, guide those around us. Make us a light and a beacon of the kingdom to come. And that, God, we do pray just for repentance in this world. But most of all, it's got to start with us, God, your church. So help us to be humble and to prepare our hearts before you, God. Do wash us. Do cleanse us. Do speak to us. Do guide us, but God, send us out and send your word out that God, it would herald your return and herald your son, that your kingdom would be full, the party would be great, and that God, you'd be glorified in. And we ask in Jesus' name, amen. So beloved, may God bless you and keep you and his face shine upon you.
There is a vineyard of the Lord. There is a vineyard for our soul. Troubles left behind, and all we drink first light until